Good morning, everyone. I have a meaningful fast. Hainas Esther dedicates class and brothers and sisters of the Holy Land, especially those in the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all hostages return home safely. The families of the Nishmas, Adav Nachman, Adav Moshe, Kuch Lemo, Pedro Basmiriam. We continue. We left off the second line from the bottom, page 21b, the second chapter above Metzia, Eilu Metzias, and we're learning the argument between Abaye and Rava, whether a person who is not consciously aware that he lost something, even though the moment he does become conscious, he surely will despair, whether the person who picks it up before he finds out if he gets to keep it or not. Since at that time, Abaye says, and Aloch is like Abaye, it's not considered the spear because he's still the owner. He's not aware of it. He's blissfully unaware. Rabbi says it doesn't matter he's blissfully unaware. The fact that if he would be, the moment he does become aware, he would despair. So even now, it says. So we have 15 proofs back and forth to prove one point or the other. So now he's Tashma. That's what we left. Tashma, we learned that a ganef, a thief, surreptitiously steals from this one and he gives it to someone else. V'chein gazlan, someone who steals in public, he's not ashamed, unashamed, unabashed. He goes in public and robs. You know, a communist takes someone else's private property. Nothing was ever, nothing was that. Steal from the rich and give it to the poor. Redistribution. And we continue on 22. Yarden, the river Yarden, or any river. You know, he happened to be next in Israel, next to the Jordan. So he uses the example of Yarden. That the river, the flow of the river, overflowed and it swept away. And it took away someone's private property. It was caught up in the overflow. And someone took it from there and gave it to someone else. All of these cases, Masha Notl. What he took, and what he gave, and the person he gave it to does not have to return it back to the owner. Because according to everyone, even though if you remember, last tractate, Baba Kama, we had an argument. If the thief steals and then the owner gives up hope, argument whether the thief has to return the item itself, or now that the owner disappeared, maybe he gets to keep it, just to pay the financial value. But everyone holds, everyone agrees, that if he stole it, and the owner disappeared, and you transferred the property to someone else, you sold it, you gave it a gift to someone else, so between the spear and the transfer property, that person gets to keep it. So in this case, the person he gave it to, the thief gave it to, the guy or the robber gave it to, gets to keep it because he gave up hope. So now that's the price. Now comes the question. In the case of Gazlan Yarden, we understand why the person he gave it to gets to keep it. Because the owner sees he's robbing him point blank in front of everyone. So he knows, he's aware of it, and that's why he disappears. Or he sees the river sweeping away, overflowing and sweeping away his possession. So he disappears. Elaganif, a thief. Elaganif, Mika Chazi, he doesn't see, he doesn't know that it was stolen. He's not going to know till later. So the thief, he does it, he smuggles in quietly and he steals. And then he gives it away. How can you say what's done is done? Even if he disappears, it's not considered a despair. A despair, because he never disappeared. The owner didn't disappear. It's only if it's the other ones, once the owner disappears, but here he never disappeared. Or he wasn't aware of it. Of course, once he's aware of it, he will disappear. The Braiser doesn't differentiate, and it's only talking about your wallet that you're constantly checking. So maybe the owner will never disappear, and the owner never disappears. How do I know? How will he ever know? Why can the other person get to keep it? The owner is not conscious of it and never becomes aware of it. He never practically disappears, and then it doesn't belong to the receiver. So the Gemara answers, Tegwin Apapa. Apapa says, well, this is the Mezuyah. We're talking about, yes, he's a thief. He's not doing it in public. It's only him and the owner, the thief and the owner. But he's holding a gun to his head. He's an armed robber. He's an armed thief. So of course he's going to give it to him. So he's aware, but he's called a ganav. In fact, Mari Yochi ain't a gazel. So that's a gazel. What's the difference between a gazel and in this case? He's a robber. It's robbery. So the answer is today gavne gazel. There's two types of gazel. There is a gazel where he does it brazenly in public. He's not embarrassed, not ashamed of anyone, and does it. He's a sumi. On the other hand, here you have a gazelin who does it quietly. He goes into your house. It's only you and him. And he holds a gun to your head. So therefore, I wouldn't know one from the other, and that's what he's saying. In both cases, thing that in the case of an armed robber, then he gives up hope. He disappears because the guy has a gun. He's a weapon. He's a mafia. He's going to use his gun, so he gives up hope. But in the case, even if it's done in public, since it's not an armed robbery, he doesn't give up hope. I have so many witnesses. He hopes to get it back. Or vice versa. I would think that maybe the case where it's done brazenly and in public, he doesn't care about anything. So he gave up hope. I'm not going to deal with this mashugana. The guy is not afraid of anything. He's fearless. Versus the armed robber, even though he's armed, but he's afraid. He does it quietly. So therefore, maybe he doesn't give up hope. That's why he teaches me in either case, he gives up hope. But in all cases, both of these cases, he's totally aware of it. It's not a case where the owner doesn't aware. That's why it's effective, his despair. Together with the transfer of property, therefore makes it his. Shma, the mother brings to the Brais. We learn, if the shot of Hanor, what if the river sweeps away his beams, his wood, his stone, his marble stone, and the land they deposited. The river deposited in his friend's field, that it belongs to the one where it's deposited. Why? The owner already disappeared.
Maybe.
So he gives an explanation. Because Taima, that's the Braisa. So Gemara says, Taima, the reason is, everyone knows that the owner disappeared. Because everyone knows, he sees what's happening. The river swept everything away. He says, oh, it's lost. I'm never going to find it. So the reason is because we know that the owner, everyone knows the owner disappeared. A stum, but if it's regular lost and found, we don't know. We don't know if the owner knows that it was lost. Loi, then his friend does not acquire it. Even though eventually the owner will disappear, because he doesn't have any identifying marks or whatever. So we see clearly, like Abaya, that Yerushalayim, that's not considered Yerush. It's only because we know for a fact that the owner already gave up hope. So the mother answers, Hocha Maiskina, we're talking about Shiocha Lahatza. We're talking about a case where the owner could save it. The owner could save it unless we know for certain, unless we hear the owner saying, oi, it's lost, I'm never going to find it. Unless we hear explicitly that the owner disappeared, even double, he can't say, well, once he finds out, he'll disappear. No, why will he disappear? He can save it. He can salvage it. So unless we hear him say explicitly that he gives up hope, then it's not considered yours. Thank you, Mariachi. If that's the case, aim is safe. But how are you going to explain the end of the price? It says over there, the owner is chasing after Chaya. Lachze. Then where it landed, the field, the owner of the field, where it landed, all of his items landed, has to return it back to the owner because he's chasing after it. So the Gemara asks, if we're talking about a case where he could salvage it, what difference does it make if he's chasing after it? Even if he can't chase after, even if he's not chasing after it, he doesn't disappear. Because he'll salvage it tomorrow, the next day. What's the rush? In the beginning of the Braisi says that the owner, we know for certain the owner knows about it. Why? Because everyone knows this is an overflowing river. It's the whole news of the town. Here there's a weather, there's a half an inch of snow for the 3 days they're talking about it. They're already shutting the schools already. So, you know, overflowing river, everyone in town knows about it. It's not like exactly a secret. So surely the owner immediately disappeared. But in the end of the Braisa, he says, you see the owner is not disappearing. He's chasing after, trying to salvage it. Then he doesn't give up hope. Then the person has to return it. If he could save it, then Why does he have to chase after him? He doesn't chase after him. He can save it. And even if he's not chasing after it, he doesn't disappear. He might answer the Chama Iskina. We're talking about over here. That you said it means. Nation, it's Yasha, Bailin. Surely the owner gave up. Everyone knows about the flood. That doesn't mean everyone knows about the flood. You don't have to know. It means surely the owner gave up hope. Versus in a case where there's a case where not, he didn't give up hope. Let's say he can save it. If he can save it. So then the writer should have said, if he can save it, if there's a case where he could save it, then he can't assume he gave up hope. Well, why would he give up hope? Why does he say if he's chasing after it? Why only if he's chasing after it? The Gemara says, "Hocha ma'eskinda." You know, we're talking about here. But Yechiel, that's a dead hack. That he could save it, but it was difficult. If he'll chase after it right away, then he can salvage it. Well, so that's why if we see he's chasing after Medatvin, that means le'ayayish. But Medatvin, ein me'ayir, he doesn't chase after it, it means he gave up hope. Why aren't you trying to save it? The river is washing it away. The tide is taking it out. Surely he gives up hope.
Big, huge thing.
The Rava says that, right, so the Braisa means in a case where he definitely gives up hope, like the river sweeps it away, fine. But in a case where he doesn't give up hope, for example, if he could save it, how do we know he can save it? What do you mean he can save it? If he can save it, or if he can save it with difficulty and we see him chasing after it.
And that's a problem.
Right. And the equivalent would be if you find an object and it has identifying marks and the owner doesn't give up hope. In that case, you have to return it to the owner. Tashma, bring your proof. Kesed Amru. Learn the Braisa. How did the rabbi say? If you go into someone's field and you separate the truma without his awareness, it's a valid truma. It's a valid truma.
Well, you're doing him a favor.
You're doing him a favor, right?
Indeed, you can't go against him.
Right.
He comes in
right. Right. He explained. Let's say he goes to the field, and he gathers fruits. The amount that you have to give truma, 2%. We taught him. Shalabir shows without permission. If he cares about because it's theft, who gave you a right to trespass into my property? If he doesn't care, then Trumasi Trum. Okay, now the Braisa says, how do we know if he cares or he doesn't care? How do you know? How can I know if the owner minds or he doesn't mind? The owner comes and he catches him in his field. And what are you doing in my field? And he tells him, I'm doing you a favor. I'm here to separate the truma. So if he tells him, why are you giving this to the kohen? Why don't you give him the best one? Take my good stuff. My premium.
Right.
You know.
But there ain't no premium.
Im to Yavazim, and if he meant it, because he does, there is premium. That means he's happy, I'm pleased. He says, thank you. But if you're already giving the coin, I would like you to give him my best. Then he's happy, so he's not upset. So therefore he represented it. What he did is done.
Right.
He was his agent. His agency is good. But if not, let's say he's just cheering. He says, oh, very nice of you. Very nice of you. Why don't you give him my best? Like he's laughing at him. He's so generous. You're a liberal Democrat. You're generous with other people's money. Very nice of you. You're coming to my property and making it my tumor. Why didn't you take from my choices? He doesn't have. It means he's not happy. You're a thief. What are you trespassing on my private property? So then enter the masitrum. Now he says, "Likta by Misifalei," and the Braisa adds, "What if the owner then goes and starts gathering his fruits, and he adds to the teruma? Whether he actually has better fruits or not, the masay teruma, because his actions speak louder than the words. He's showing that he meant it, that he's really happy with him doing it, that he's happy that it was separated." And he says to Masa Truma, it doesn't mean that the added fruits that he gives is Truma, because the added fruits Once truma is done already. You can't add to it. It's done. Remember, we learned that if you know, an average person gives 1/50th, 2%, a generous person gives 1/40th, and a cheapskate gives 1/60th. So what if he wants to give 1/50th? By mistake, he gave 1/60th. It's too late. You can't add to it. Once it's done, it's done. The regular fruits, then you can't add to it. So he means the truma that the agent gave, the one who trespassed. His truma is truma because he's demonstrating that he's happy. By wanting to add to it, he's showing that he's happy. I just want to add to it. Of course, his adding is meaningless. But it means that affirms that the truma, that he acted as his agent, he's happy with what he did. But I said, the question is as follows. Why do you say that if the owner demonstrates that he's happy, then the separation of the truma that this trespasser did is okay, is valid? Am I wise or valid? When he separated, he didn't know. He wasn't aware of it, and according to Abaye, he has to be conscious. He's not aware, just because when he will find out, he's happy, he tells us he's happy. It doesn't help. At the time, you were a thief. At the time, it didn't belong to you. You had no right to separate the truma, so it should be invalid. His separation would be invalid. So, Tigma Rava, this question, Rava answered Abaye. It's such a nuts question that even Rava was able to answer it. He said, Abaye, he says, don't bring a proof to my position from here. Here doesn't disprove Abaye at all. Why? Because it's Shabbos Shliach. We're talking about he didn't separate on his own. He appointed him as his agent. He had definitely appointed him right from the beginning. What does it mean? The Gemara will explain. What do you mean if he separated him? If he appointed him as an agent, so what do you mean without his knowledge? Anyway, so the Gemara says, it also makes sense. It's talking about his agent. If you're going to think, it's going to enter your mind that we're talking about, it's not his agent. How could his truma be truma? Well, it says, Atem gamatem amrachmana. It says, you, Terimu, Atem truma Hashem, you should separate the truma of Hashem. Right? Parshas Koyrach, and it says, gamatem, also you. And Gam also Ledabish Luchachem comes to add that you can even appoint an agent to separate truma for you. So Ma'atchem Ledaitchem, just like when you separate the truma, it has to be consciously, you know, you're doing it willingly and consciously. Afluchachem, so to your agent Ledaitchem. It's only if you appointed an agent. So if, unless he's an agent, he has no right to appoint truma. Ella. So what does it mean? How come I skin? Oh, we're talking about the Shavir Shliach. He appointed an agent. I'm too busy. Just do me a favor. Act as my agent. Go separate from. He didn't say separate from these fruits. He just told him separate from. Ustam the Balabayas. He doesn't specify. Ustam the Balabayas. He taught him Benis Dunham. A regular average. He's an average Balabas. Average Balabas gives 1/50th. 2%. But this guy went. He taught him a Yabbas. He's very nice. He's very generous, and someone else expands. He gave the good stuff, the best. 1/40. And he says, oh, very nice. That's not what I instructed you. Why don't you go to the bed? Why don't you give him the choicest fruits? So he says, if he take find that he's sincere, because there are take better fruits. That means I'm happy with you and I'm telling you for real. So then his agency is effective. If not, he's laughing at him. He's like sarcastic. Really? You're so nice at my expense. I instructed you to give average. You're so nice at my expense. You're giving much more. You're giving 1/40. Why didn't you take already the choicest fruits? And if there are no choice fruits, he's being sarcastic. So then you no longer represent me. You only represent me if you do my will. If you're doing your own will, you're not representing me. Therefore, it's not effective. It's not valid. This truma is not valid. It says, Amemer, Mazutre, Ravashi, Ikalibus, and everybody's. The three rabbis, Amemer, Mazutre, Ravashi, came to the orchard. So the others, the sharecropper, Barisik, the sharecropper gave them dates and pomegranates. The Shadda Kamayani left it before them. Meanwhile, also Mari Barisik himself came, the owner. He found him. He asked his shirkarpa, why didn't he give the rabbis better fruits? Why are you still holding back from eating? Why are you eating your breakfast or whatever?
He still wouldn't eat. Wouldn't even eat after that statement.
Yeah. Amalei, Amem Rav Asha Mazut, Rahash, Tamayli Ochem Mar, but Tani, we learn this, the office Mem Trumasu Truma. If the owner demonstrates that he's happy with what he did, then it's a valid Truma. Retroactively means that he acted as his agent. So, too, if the owner is saying, why don't you give him better fruits, that means he's happy that you served him. He's not upset. So, why aren't you eating? Amalo, he said, Hachi Amarav, this is what Rabbi says. Loi Amru, Kalechit Yopi, Zalinian, Trumuvat. The mitzvah Nichli, we only say that in the case of Truma, because since it's a mitzvah, the person is happy that someone did it for him and he wants to do it in the best way possible. Have a Hach over here, there's no mitzvah involved, so he's not happy. So, even though he tells him, it's because he's embarrassed. From Kisifusudamach, he's embarrassed.
Distinguished guests come and you give them some garbage, right?
No, he's embarrassed that, you know, he's not going to say that. He doesn't want the sharecropper to be embarrassed that he gave without permission. So therefore, he says, you should have given them even nicer fruits. But really, he doesn't mean it. Really, it was really a theft. He had no right to give it. It wasn't his to give. The fruits before it was divided. The sharecropper gets a share of the fruits, gets a percentage of the fruits.
That too, he may have had permission.
No, so he gave it before it was distributed between him and the owner. So it belonged 100% to the owner, so he had no right to give it.
Yeah.
He had no right to give it. How did the two rabbis eat then in that case? Where they were lying that the owner will come, they'll be happy? How do you know? And retroactively, what if not?
You know, maybe...
He's a sharecropper. He has a right to a certain percentage of the fruit. Surely he gave us from his share.
That's one point.
Right. Next Braisa. Toshma, I'll bring you a Braisa. We learn the Braisa. If a person brings his fruit to the roof to dry, right?
What's the seven liquids?
Ideo atalalin. Now, there's seven. In order for a fruit to become susceptible to impurity, it has to come in contact with seven liquids, after, of course, it's detached, because every fruit gets liquid, called rain. But after it's detached, it has to be with the will of the owner. What are the seven liquids? No.
Water, dew, honey, olive oil, wine, and blood.
Blood, okay. Yeah, right. So, he says, so if a day, and if the dew is still on the fruits, with samach, and he's happy that they got moist, then the owner is happy that it got moist. So from that point on, these fruits become susceptible to receive impurity. But nigvu, what if the fruits were dry before he realized that it was moist, that the dew fell on the fruits? Even though he's happy that it was moist in the beginning. It doesn't meet the qualification of a chiyuta. Now it's too late. It has to be, he has to demonstrate that he's happy while it's moist. Here, he found that after it was already dry, and it doesn't help retroactively. So that when it was moist, that means he's happy. So what do we see? Time, my, the reason is, because you have to follow now. Yeah, don't follow. It's not retroactive. So it doesn't mean, well, once he finds it, you don't say, well, once he finds out, he'll be happy. So therefore, even now, it's as if he's happy about it. No, it doesn't work that way. So this proves Abaye's point. It refutes Rava. He might answer, shiny awesome, he can't compare. The Chassid says, ki yitin. Taita says, when you will give. Yitin, achi yitin, means you have to give consciously. Taita says, doesn't say yuta. Says ki yitin, give water or liquid on the seeds, on the plant, on the seeds, and then it will come in contact with impurity. So it says the owner gives it. He has to give it consciously. So it's a separate, it's a unique case. In this case of impurity, the Torah says it has to be consciously, deliberately and consciously. You have to place the water there willingly, consciously and deliberately, and only then this becomes susceptible to tumah. So here, when the wudu fell on the fruits and it was moist, but then it became dry, and only then he found out it was moist, even though he's happy, it's tough luck, it doesn't help. Right now, it's dry. That's the case, Reisha Nami. So even when it's still moist and he's happy, it should also not work, because Kiyita, he's not giving anything. It came on its own. Dew comes on its own. The Torah says Yitain. When you, the owner, will place water on the fruits or on the food, the Gemara says Hasa got a papa there. It's like a papa. Papa Rami, a papa threw one brisa against the other, threw one pas against the other. Seeming a contradiction. When he will give without a papa, but we read it. How do we read it? Kiyutan, when it's given on its own. Okay, so which one is it? Yitain or Yutan? You can't say both. It's a contradiction. Either it's Yitain or it's Yutan. You give deliberately or consciously, or Yutan, it's on its own. And the answer is, meaning the Kiyutan, the Dumbul Yitain. The Yutan has to be similar to Yitin, just like my Yitin Ladas. If you place water, why are you placing water? Because you want to place water. Why are you making your fruits wet or the kernels wet? Because you want to. So to Yutan, when it happens on its own, it's only effective if the owner is happy and pleased. Afki Yutan Namu Ladas. At least you have to be willing and you have to be happy about it.
What's going on here? Why is the owner one?
No, so that's why it doesn't matter that the dew landed on its own. As long as the owner, while it's still moist, demonstrates, says that he's happy, then it becomes susceptible to impurity. But if it's after it's dry, then the owner finds out that it was moist, and he's happy about it, it doesn't help. It's not susceptible to receive. Shema, bring your proof. How do we know that if a river swept away someone's object and it's lost, that anyone can keep it? Whoever finds it, keeps it. Because it says in the Pasuk, by lost and found, so you should you do. To his donkey, to his garment, anything that's lost, you have to return it to the owner. You have to restore it to the owner. And you find it, you must return it to the owner. So what do we say? Says it's lost to your friend, to your brother, but to everyone else, it's found. Yatsatus comes to exclude avudim imenu. If it's lost to him, no one can find it. Swept away by the river, it's lost. No one could salvage it from the river. So even if at the end you find it, if the river deposits in your backyard, you don't have to return it because it's lost. It's lost to everyone. That's just lost to him. He doesn't remember what happened to it. It's lost to him. He lost it. It's lost to everyone. No one could. It's in the river. No one could salvage it.
I gave him a whole example
from a couple. Rabbi statement in Shmuel, because we sort of do meditate from this pasuk. You're learning two cases. One case which you're allowed to keep it. One case you're not allowed to keep it. If it's lost to everyone, you're allowed to keep it. If it's only lost to the owner, but it's found to anyone else, you're not allowed to keep it. So we learn one from the other. Ma teira case where you're allowed to keep. Bain the isver simin bain the lesba simin shara. It doesn't matter if there is a simin. It doesn't matter if there is no simin. It's allowed, right? It doesn't matter if there's identifying marks. It's lost. The river swept it away. It's lost to everyone. No one could salvage it. So it belongs to whoever finds it. Whoever lands up, it's his. So to Afisuda, also in the case where you're not allowed to keep it, Bendi Isma Simon, whether it has identifying marks, and the owner does not despair, so surely you're not allowed to keep it. Less Basimon also, if it doesn't have identifying marks, nevertheless, he can keep it. Why not? Why in the world would I not be allowed to keep it if it has no identifying marks, and the owner will surely despair? But nevertheless, it's Asura, like Abaya says, in a case where the owner doesn't know that he lost it. and you find it before he consciously even finds out that it's lost. So when you picked it up, it was still owned by him. He still had ownership, even though he's blissfully unaware that it really it's lost. So therefore, you have obligated to return it. So that's why, and that's a scenario where, even if it, even either case, even if it doesn't have identifying mark, you still have to return it to the owner. So the Gemara says to Yuf, the Rabbi to Yuf, this refutes Rabbi's opinion. The law follows Abaye. Biyal Kagam. These are the six exceptions. Usually the law always follows Rava, but these are the six exceptions. The Yud, Yal, the first one is Yir, case of Yir Shalei Midas. This is the first of the six exceptions. First is Yir Shalei Midas, so we follow Abaye, that it's still considered the owner until he consciously knows that it's lost. The Ayin is Edim Zemimin, that they, when, from what point on does he become a disqualified witness? Is it either the time when their testimony is refuted because the Edom Zemim come from that moment on, or retroactively from the time that they testified. So any testimony they gave in any other case after they witnessed, but they claim that they witnessed, is invalid. And also the case, the Yal is Lechi, the Lamed is Lechi Ha'imid Me'elav, if it's the post that you need in the alleyway in order to carry on Shabbos, if it happens to be standing, it's not something that you place there, is it something that you can rely on Shabbos? And then the Kagam, there's the Kuf, is Kiddushin, Shanim Sir Labiya of Kiddushin, which you can consummate, whether it's considered. It's considered a kiddushin or not, and the gimel is gili daita begita. If the husband reveals, makes some statement, so he takes some action which reveals that he wants to nullify the get or not. And the last thing is the mem would naivel osu lahachis. If he eats nevelas, he eats nevelas, not because he's starving, or because it's delicious, just in spite, whether he's considered a kosher witness or not. Okay, so these laws, the law follows Abaye. Six of them.
All the rest follow Rabbi.
Whereas Amle Rabach with the Rabbi the Abashi, Rabach at the face of Rabbi, anytime the Zika. How are we able to eat it? You're saying the law follows like Abaye. How are you able to eat it? What does it help that later on the owner said he's happy? But at the time, you had no right. It doesn't help that the owner later on says that he's happy. No, I'm sorry. No. That's the case where they assume that he gave it from his own shear, the shear crop. But he says, "Hani tamid zika." If the dates that the wind blows off, how are we allowed to eat it? What does it help? But the owner right now, when you're eating it, doesn't know yet that his fruits fell off. So right now he didn't despair yet. So right now he still owns it. So it's theft. Even though once he finds out, he will surely despair. So I'm later actually answered, "Even the ikish katzim and the marshmukah." Since there are all these rodents that are eating all these fruits that fell to the ground, so right at the outset, he already disappeared. So what he's saying is figs, dates are like figs. We learned earlier, dates are like figs, that it's the way, it's the normal way that the wind is going to blow and they're going to fall off. It's only, we said, only a case of olives and caribs that we said that it's not the normal way for it to fall down. That's why the owner doesn't anticipate it to fall, and that's why it falls. You're not allowed to eat it, because even if he finds out, he will despair. But right now, he didn't despair yet. What about children, orphans, minor orphans, who don't have the power to make it ownerless? Their despair doesn't count. So maybe these dates that are fallen, that fell off the tree, maybe they come from trees that belong to orphans, minor orphans. And yirsh doesn't help because their forgiveness has no legal validity. This is an interesting discussion. What category is yirsh? What exactly is yirsh? Is it because like making it ownerless? Rashi seems to be saying, or is it because it's like forgiving, the owner forgives, you can take Marla. So Rashi answered, we're talking about the Yasin, a valley that has a lot of fields. We don't have to worry and suspect, maybe all the fields there come from fields from miners who own their orphans, and they inherited, and they're underage. You don't have to think about it. They follow the majority. The majority. What are the chances? The majority belongs to adults, and you always follow the majority. So Rav Acha ben Rav, the son of Rav, asked Rav Ashi, "What if Muchzuk Vuei? What if we know that one of the fields belongs to a minor orphan?" Mai. Karkas and Mai. No. What if you have palm trees, but they're surrounded by a fence, and the rodents can't get to it? They can't eat these dates, and the owner doesn't give up hope. What's the din? In all these cases, both of these cases, the owner doesn't give up hope because it's protected. It's surrounded by a fence. And it protects it from the rodents. And we know that there is a field there that belongs to a minor orphan. Indeed, you would not be allowed to separate it. In the Mishnah, if you find bundles in the public sphere, it belongs to the finder. Even if it has identifying marks. The reason is because since it's in the public and people are stepping over it, trampling over it, therefore you're going to erase any identifying marks. So the owner gives up hope, even if it has identifying marks. The owner thinks to himself, surely in the street it's going to get rubbed out, people are going to step in and trample over it. Rav argues, Rav Amar, the mission is talking about a bundle that has no identifying marks. If it has identifying marks, you have to announce. We see Kasavar, Rav Simon. The owner doesn't disappear because even though he left it in the public, he lost it in the public. He it's a thoroughfare. People are walking and trampling. He's not afraid that they're going to trample and erase identifying Mars. Other learn losh might about binavshe, not on our Mishnah, just independently. A simon that will be erased, could be erased. Rabbi says it's not a simon, and the owner gives a pope. And Rabbi says it is a simon. The Gemara says, "Nah, we learned." In our Mishnah, but if it's in the private domain, how are we talking about it? If it has no identifying marks, like Rav explains, it has no simen. If it has no simen, because if it has a simen, then if it has identifying marks, then even in a public domain, you return. When he says you don't give it back in the public domain, we must be talking about it has no simon, it has no identifying mark. So if it has no identifying mark, why do you have to announce it? What are you announcing? And if it's found in the private domain, it has no identifying marks. So you should get to keep it even if it's in the private domain. Elolav, surely we're talking about Isbeth Simon. Surely we must be talking about it has identifying marks. And that's why, Uktan, if we learn Mishnah Rabbi Shalai, that's why, if that's the distinction, if it's in the public sphere, which the identifying marks will get erased, trampled upon, therefore the owner gives up hope, and that's why you get to keep it. But if it's a private domain, no one is trampling over it, it has an identifying marks, then you have to announce it. So this proves that Abba, that the simon, that there's identifying marks in the public doesn't mean anything because it will get erased. The owner doesn't rely on it and he will disappear if he loses it in the public. Yeah. refutes Rav and proves Rav's opinion. Rav, the Gemara answers, Rav will answer for you. Really, the Mishnah is talking about it has no identifying mark. You said, what are you going to announce if it's in the public domain? How are you going to identify it? Why do you have to return it? The answer is very simple. Machris Makim, the address. I can tell you where I lost it, in front of 419.
All of the halakhs of this cement.
But in a public domain, he gets kicked around. So the owner thinks to himself, even if he knows which address he left it at, what are the chances it's still going to be there? He gets kicked around. He's going to find it somewhere else. So he gives up hope. The rabba will tell you, Makim Labasim. I'm sorry, it's too flimsy. That's not called an identifying mark. Tell me an address where it was. You have to tell me an identifying mark in the object itself. Don't tell me where it was found. That's circumstantial evidence. Show me a mark. If you're the real owner, tell me something identifying. Identify something in the object itself. That's the only thing that counts. It's what we learn. Rabba says it's not considered an identifying mark, an address. Rabba says it is a simon. Toshma, I'll bring you a proof. We learn the brayis, the kviche, if you find a bundle of stalks of grain, b'shusha rabbim in the public, and the shaloya belongs to the finder, b'shusha yach, in the private night, l'makris, you have to go and announce it. And try to seek out the owner and return it to him. Valumba is big bundle. Bain, b'shusha rabbim, b'shusha yach, and little makris. Even if it's found in the public, you have to announce it and return it to the owner. So Rabbi, how are you going to explain this? According to Rabbi,
say that a woman who's in need, you do have to.
Why do you have to? Since they get trampled on, so there are no identifying marks. What difference does it make, small or big? And Rabbi explains, if it's a simon. No, neither of them have a simon. When he says place, he doesn't mean where he lost it. He says, on the contrary, the one who announces, I found something in this location. You tell me what I found. So who's going to know what he found? Only someone who lost it, right? That's what Rava says. Rava said, Makim is a simon. That you announce the place where you found something. Oh, that's all you say. I found something. Let the owner come and tell me what I found. Only the owner can know. And Rabbi says, no, that's not a simon. He guessed. He took a good guess. That's you have to give me an identifying mark in the thing itself. Rabbi, that the Mishnah is talking about where there is identifying marks. But because it gets the race, because it's a public field, what difference does it make? Small bundles, big bundles, and they get erased. So why do you have to return it if it's a big bundle? You should also get to keep it, even if it's a big bundle. According to Rav, it says we're talking about a case that has no identifying marks. And you can't just say, I found something here, because it gets kicked around. The owner will never identify, the place where it was found is not necessarily the place where it was lost. But if it has an identifying mark, and the owner gives up hope, and announcing it, I found it here, means nothing. So why the difference in small bundles and big bundles? What's the difference? Either way, the owner disappears. So you might explain. Rabba, Metares, Rabba will explain the Braisel of Taimei, according to his, consistent with his approach. It's talking about there is an identifying mark, Simon, it has identifying marks. Rav Matadis Tamei, Rav will explain to going to his reasoning, Makim, that the person announces where he found it, and the person will come and announce tell us exactly what he lost, what he found. So Rav, Matanis the time of it, will explain Biyaz Besimen to Kirchel Shusam and Yer Shloi. You know it's why. It is because Mishum the Medrash. Because the signs will get erased, the identifying marks will get erased. Bishu Seyachin, Eidle Machrit, Le Medrash doesn't get erased. But the aluma is the big bundles. Since they're so tall, let me listen, no one is just going to trample on it. It's too big to trample on. Small little stalks are going to get trampled on, so the identifying marshal will be erased. That's the distinction. Small bundles in a private domain, no one is stepping on. It's a field that's being sowed and plowed, and no one is stepping on it. So therefore, the owner doesn't despair because he knows this, the identifying marks will still be there. So he can identify it. But small bundles in a public sphere, which people are stepping on, the owner despairs because surely it's going to get erased. But big bundles, even in a public sphere, no one is stepping on top of a big bundle, no one is erasing the identifying mark. So therefore, the owner doesn't despair. That's why you have to return it. Vedava, Mataj, Vedava, we'll explain the Mishnah according to his approach. The Mishnah is talking about it has no identifying marks. B'makim. So Kriach is Mishnah Me'el Shaloi the Minishtavi. Why do you say... Why can't he announce, hey, whoever lost something in front of 419, E77, come, speak up, tell me what I found, what you lost. Because it gets kicked around. It gets kicked around, the owner thinks, he's going to find it somewhere else, because people are walking, and kick it around. And if our, you know, so he gives up hope of ever finding it. And also maybe someone else's object was lost elsewhere, was found in front of this address. In the private domain, he has to announce it even if it has no identifying marks. It doesn't get kicked around. So when the person announces in public, hey, whoever lost something in this address, please come and identify it. Tell me what, not identify, there's nothing to identify, but tell me what I found. He'll tell him exactly what he found. He's certain. But in the case of the big bundles, even in the public domain, you have to announce why. Because given the Yekita, since they're heavy, they don't get kicked around. So the owner doesn't disappear. He says, oh, yeah, I can tell you exactly what you found. We continue to have an easy fast and a wonderful day.